When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Just for Variety. Today is December 23rd, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Jeremy Allen White is, to put it in very simple terms, one of today's hottest Hollywood stars. He first grabbed television audiences' attention for his work as Lip on Shameless, but it's his award-winning performance as Carmi in The Bear that has pushed his stardom into a whole other stratosphere. And now, White can be seen opposite Zac Efron in The Iron Claw, Sean Durkin's new film about the tragedies surrounding the legendary Von Erich family wrestling dynasty. Coming up, I talk to White about working with Efron, getting ready to shoot season 3 of The Bear, and so much more. But first, let's take a look at my recent red carpet coverage. I was at the premiere of Zack Snyder's much-anticipated new Netflix film, Rebel Moon, Part 1, A Child of Fire. Charlie Hunnam, who plays space pirate Kai in the movie, told me he was hit so badly with the flu during the film's press tour that he ended up in the hospital.
36 hours ago, I was in London in hospital because I'd had the flu. I'd started to get better, but then I didn't realize that it started to really damage my kidneys, which the flu can do. So I'd never been to hospital before. Found myself in hospital for 24 hours.
In hospital.
Hospital, but I'd never been admitted myself. And so I was in hospital for a little over a day on an IV. But I've never missed even an hour of work in 25 years of my career. So I checked myself out of hospital, got to the airport.
Were you still in your hospital gown?
I was running out. I went to hospital from a press junket, so I was dressed really chicly, and I just like lay in the bed on the IV, dressed very chicly, and then checked out and just was still wearing my chic clothes. Went straight to the airport, then my flight was 6.5 hours late, and then my luggage didn't arrive. And so that's been my last 36 hours.
That was Charlie Hunnam. Rebel Moon is out now. Welcome back to Just for Variety. Jeremy Allen White stars in The Iron Claw as one of the Von Erich brothers, a family wrestling dynasty that rose to fame in the 1980s. The Sean Durkin drama follows the family's triumphs and tragedies and co-stars Zac Efron, Harris Dickinson, and Stanley Simons. I caught up with White the day after the film's Los Angeles premiere.
Hey, what's happening, man?
I mean, you had a busy day yesterday.
I had a busy, busy day yesterday. Yeah, yeah. It all felt good, but it also felt good to get into bed at the end of the night. That was a nice feeling, too.
What's it feel like to do sort of this the fact is you could do nonstop press right now. The fact is actors can talk about all their projects. What was it like, you know, not being able to do that, being pretty much shut down?
Yeah, it was strange. I mean, you know, it's hard when you're really proud of something and not being able to get out in front of it. You know, I think the second season of the Bear had come out during that period, and I did a film called Fingernails that came out during that period. But I don't know. There's also something nice about, you know, letting people react to sort of, you know, the piece alone, you know, and not having any like ideas or opinions or anything sort of discussed beforehand. I thought it was, I don't know, kind of interesting too, maybe.
It feels like there's almost like it could be almost a more pure experience.
Yeah, maybe.
So the Iron Claw comes to you. How did you read the script first? Did Sean reach out to you? How did it all come about for you?
Yeah, so I had heard about this movie, like a rough, I don't even know if Sean had written a draft yet, but I heard about it years prior. I'm friends with Sean's manager. First of all, I've known Sean since I was 15, 16 years old. My first film really ever was this film After School. Antonio Campos directed, and Sean and Antonio had a production company together for a time, Borderline Films, and they still shared the same manager, Melissa. And so Melissa was explaining this kind of idea, what Sean has going on. I was just asking about him and how he's doing. And I'd always wanted to get back to Sean and those guys and Tony. Like I felt so lucky for my first film to be with those guys. They made me feel so sort of valued and empowered at like such a young age. I think I was used to doing these things where I feel like young actors are often kind of like, you know, made to be like puppets or something. But I sensed that like my opinion was really valued, and so I felt like I was kind of spoiled in my first film, and so I'd always been trying to find these guys again, Antonio and Sean. Melissa was telling me about the film, about the wrestlers. I had done some wrestling, not this kind of wrestling, but I had done some wrestling when I was younger, when I was in school, and really enjoyed it. And I was like, I can do that. But Sean had to write the script. So a couple of years later, Sean reached out, and he told me about the Von Erichs, and he suggested that I watch an episode of this Hulu series, Dark Side of the Ring, which is about different stories within the world of professional wrestling. And there was an episode on the Von Erichs, and he suggested I watch it and see if that world kind of seems interesting to me. And I watched it, and it very much did. I was like immediately taken with that family and the time. And that kind of environment of professional wrestling, but also Texas, their upbringing sounded, it was so foreign to me, my upbringing, and it sounded really, really interesting. And then I read the script like I said, I'd always been trying to make my way back to Sean. So it was a very easy yes, from me. Yeah.
So tell me about this former wrestling career you had.
I wouldn't call it a career. I wrestled in middle school, a little bit in high school. It really wasn't a very big part of my life, but my father was a really great wrestler. He had won like championships throughout high school, nationals and stuff like that. So it was a big part of my dad's life. And so I think maybe I make it a bigger part of my story in my brain than it actually is, because it was a big part of my father's life. It was something that I enjoyed, and it was something that I was good at, but I didn't do it for very long. Yeah.
What was the hardest part of Iron Claw in terms of the physicality? You're doing, I don't know the words, but drop kicks and flips, sure, just insanity. And I understand it's all choreographed, but it hurts and it takes work.
Yeah, it absolutely takes work. We were really lucky to have Chavo Guerrera kind of guiding us through the process. He's a professional wrestler himself, and he comes from a family of professional wrestlers, not unlike the Von Erichs. And he was incredibly knowledgeable and skilled. The process, I think it was incredibly daunting at first, because you're right. You watch professional wrestling, you watch Chavo do what he does. And it just seems unlikely that you would be able to do anything like that. But then you, and it's still like, it is, it takes such skill to perform it. But I guess you realize in the process of learning, you're so supported by your partner. Like, even if you're not very good, like I was not very good at it, if my partner in the ring was skilled, and the majority of the men that we were wrestling with were real professional wrestlers, they could really support you and they could really make you look good. And yeah, I guess that made it less daunting that, you know, we found a lot of trust, in these guys that we were training with and working with. And then like anything else, like any other, new skill that you're kind of trying to learn, I think it's like, you know, you can kind of like baby step up to the edge. And then at a certain point, you know, you kind of just need to jump and trust. And I think all of us found a place where we got comfortable enough to kind of just jump and go for it. Yeah.
Was there a moment though, like, I don't know, if you're jumping off the, what do you call it?
The corner of the ropes or something?
Yeah, the ropes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
You see how much, was there ever a moment like you're jumping off the ropes and you're like, I can't, am I really going to do this? Am I really going to do this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Zach had the kind of biggest sort of like leap in the most like literal terms, off of the corner ropes. But yeah, I definitely had moments, where, you know, I was scared. I didn't think, you know, I thought either I would hurt myself or make a fool of myself or, you know, but like I said, you know, there was such trust in our partners in this thing, and you know, you would be caught, both you know, literally and figuratively, when we were training and doing these performances. But yeah, like, you know, for example, there's this kind of move they came up with on the day that I did in the film where I'm kind of on a corner rope and I do kind of a somersault with another wrestler. We kind of do it at the same time, and I trusted him, and you know, I did it, and I was like, okay, I did it, that was okay, we did it a couple more times. But then I did watch playback, and my gosh, my head was mere, you know, inches from the ground as I was flipping. So yeah, I don't know, I guess there's like a certain amount, for me at least, like there was like some safety and ignorance too. I think like I wasn't familiar enough with the sport to be appropriately frightened. So I think my ignorance might have looked like bravery, but the fact is it was all ignorance. Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, you're British GQ spread. One of my closest friends is one of the models, one of the wrestling models.
Oh, cool. Yeah. They were great, man. All those guys.
What was that shoot like? Because I was asking my friend, I'm like, you know, he couldn't really say until I came out, but I'm like, what was it like? Oh, it was Jeremy Allen White with a bunch of us and like hardly any clothing wrestling behind him.
Yeah. I mean, that's the truth. Yeah, there was this really amazing photographer that I was aware of for a while, Luke Guilford, who's also a filmmaker. He had just made a, I think he had a film at Toronto, his first film right before we started the shoot. But yeah, he's a photographer I really liked. He brought in all these guys, your friend included. We filmed at a, or shot at a, it's like a functioning school, like school is in session. But we were like shooting in this gymnasium and on the fields. And I remember the first shot was like the shot where I had this kind of like trophy and all the guys were behind me wrestling or, you know, kicking or playing football, something. And then there were like, we would have to pause every once in a while because there were like eighth grade girls, like running laps around this track. So we'd like get a couple shots and then the girls would come around in the background of the shot. We'd stop, take a couple shots. The girls would make their way back around. But yeah, no, it was great. I had a great time. I don't normally enjoy photo shoots. But that one was, fun. Yeah.
What does that feel like to become this? I mean, the fact is you're a fashionable man in Hollywood now, you know,
one fashionable man.
Yeah. One headline is Jeremy Allen White can't stop wearing sweater vests.
I guess I can't, you know, what can I say? I like a sweater vest. Yeah, I don't know. I like clothes. I like, I don't know what to say about that. I like sweater vests. I like cardigans. I'll put a suit on if I absolutely have to. I don't know. I just wear what feels comfortable, comfortable to me. And if people like that, then that's all very nice.
So you walk on set, or you're getting groomed, you meet Zac Efron.
Mm-hmm.
You were a dancer at one point as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a High School Musical fan?
Oh my God. I'm looking around as if this isn't for press. I haven't seen those films. I've not seen them. Sorry, Zach. I will watch them. I will.
I think we
have
not
seen those films.
I think we have to have a watch party, Jeremy. Maybe
she yes, yes. Only if Zach holds my hand through them. That's how we'll get it done. Yeah.
You know what? You just sparked a really good idea. What do you want to raise funds for? Because that could be a really
good idea. Just film Zach and I, fingers interlaced in a theater, watching the three. It's three films.
Three correct? Films.
But so I three think films.
Like, yes.
But then there's what? Like, is there a series as well? No.
It's like now not Zach's involved, but now it's like High School Musical, High School Musical, High School Musical.
I'll only watch the ones that Zach is a part of. That's part of the deal. But yeah, I'd be up for that. Raise some money.
So you were a little kid dancing in Brooklyn, huh?
I was a little kid dancing in Brooklyn. Yeah. Yeah.
I was a little kid dancing in Queens.
No shit.
Yeah, I grew up in Howard Beach.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yep. Cool. So, wow. What was that like, dancing in Queens?
It sucked. I gave up that dream because I was too scared of being bullied. I would go to the dancing school, and I don't even think me and the girlfriends that I went with even had an understanding. Well, we didn't talk about it. They would go in front of the dancing school.
Uh-huh.
See, there were bullies. I'd be waiting on the corner, and they'd wave me in safe.
No shit. Well, that's nice.
And I quit 2 years in a row because I didn't want the bullies to see me.
Oh man. So what about later in life? What about now?
What do I do now?
We can dance.
We can dance now.
Yeah.
Yes. Were you bullied? I mean, I think about a little kid in Brooklyn dancing ballet, tap, and jazz.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, it's interesting. Like, I did dance. Maybe I did I try to keep it quiet in some kind of. I'm trying to remember if I had some kind of. But I don't think so. I think it just seemed like a separate part of my life a little bit, but then I remember I transferred to a new school in Brooklyn, and this is how I found acting. I went to this new school. They had really great kind of like performing arts programs in middle school, seventh grade. And I naturally joined like the dance program because that was what I did. I was like, I'm a dancer, so I'm going to do this. And I went to the dance program at the school at 51, and I remember very quickly I was like, these guys aren't taking it seriously enough. Mm. I was like, these guys aren't serious dancers. So after like a week or two, I was like, I can't. I can't be a pod. I'm going to have to try a different performing arts program here because I take dance seriously and these people aren't taking it seriously enough. And that's how I found the drama class at 51. And I had a teacher, John McEnany, who's a great acting teacher, my first acting teacher. And he was the first one. He sent me out on all these big open casting calls that he would find in backstage. And it's how I got my first three jobs was through Mr. McEnany sending me out on these big sort of cattle call auditions. Yeah.
Do you remember your dance moves? I only remember one from jazz.
I feel like I tap all the time. I feel like my fellow actors can attest to this. There is something that it's a nervous tick or something or some kind of preparation where it really happens when I, when they say cut and reset, when I'm standing on my mark at reset, maybe it's a meditative thing. I'll do a shuffle as I'm kind of stare at the ground and kind of just shuffle. And I'll do it until they say action again. And then I snap out of whatever it is. And I go back into the scene. But yeah, I do that all the time. And I've done it for a long time. I've had ADs, wow, PAs, fellow actors always ask what is going on there? And I was like, I don't know exactly, but I am tap dancing. I don't know why I am, but I am. Yeah.
I mean, there's the second annual Zach and Jeremy fundraiser. You got
a tap off. Yeah.
We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, White teases what's in store for The Bear season 3. Plus, he recalls how his Shameless audition didn't turn out the way he had hoped. Welcome back to Just for Variety. I'm Mark Malkin. Here's more of Jeremy Allen White.
When you tell the producers of The Bear that you're going to do Iron Claw, are they careful with those wrestling moves? We need you to come back into production.
No, they were excited. They were really excited. They don't care if I hurt myself. No, they're lovely and they do care. But they knew it would be safe. And also there was a pretty long, I had a lot of time to recover. If I did get hurt, I would have had a lot of time to recover before season 2. So they were supportive. They were supportive of my choice.
So where are you keeping all those awards that you've been getting? Where do you keep them?
I've got one somewhere around here. There's one in my daughter's room. There's one on a bookshelf. They're scattered around. I want to make sure wherever anybody is, they can see. They're about.
Is it wild when you wake up yesterday morning, or maybe you were up watching the nominations?
No, I won't get up that early, even for that. No, but it was great. I woke up. My lovely publicist Jillian did wake up at 5 a.m. So I woke up to some texts from her and all my guys and some family and a lot of friends that are in New York who heard about it before I did. It was a great way to start the day. Like I said yesterday, it was had that moment. It felt wonderful. I texted Io and Eben and Abby and kind of, the group text as well on The Bear and congratulations and stuff. And then I was off to the Hollywood suit store to give Zach his star. Yeah.
You told me when we talked at that reception, you start shooting early next year, season 3.
Yeah.
At that point, you said you didn't know anything going on. What could you tell me now? And don't tell me you can't tell me anything.
I'll tell you the truth, which is I think they've written a couple of scripts. I have not read any. I do know in January I'm going to spend a fair amount of time getting together with some chefs. There'll be a menu set, I believe, that's, you know, going to be for the restaurant in the third season. And I know that I'm going to start just putting together that menu with different chefs and cooking and just trying to get prepared to do more of that stuff on camera. I think, you know, we all did a lot of preparation before the first season. When I went to culinary school and I spent a lot of time in restaurants and stuff. And then for the second season, so much of it was about, putting the restaurant together. So there wasn't that much cooking. But now in the third season, I think we're going to go back to that kind of, functioning kitchen sort of, atmosphere that we had in the first. So I can say that much.
We could say we're going to see you cooking.
Yes.
Okay, fun question. Take me back to your most fun audition you ever had.
None of them. the most fun audition I ever had. I mean, I think when I was really young, there was something so exciting about auditions. I think I didn't get as nervous as I do now. You know, there was another, I think there's something that comes with youth where, you know, you're just, you're less self-aware, less in your head. And you can approach these things with some more, bravery. You're less afraid of being embarrassed or something. And, I think as an actor, you know, you always try to get back to that, and try to find that again, that childlike thing. But yeah, I think the most fun I had really, was when I was young and kind of going on those auditions I was talking about, those kind of like big casting calls where it'd be like hundreds of kids and a lot of non-actors. And I feel like a lot of the work at that time was improvised. And I remember really enjoying improvisation when I was younger. And now it's like, nothing scares me more. I like to like, you know, find a really, really great writers, like Sean and Chris and just say their words these days.
What's that one role that got away that you were like,
oh my God,
I thought I was going to have it?
There's so many. I mean, my gosh. But I feel bad. I don't want to talk about any. I'm trying to think, because like I'm friends with, you know, a lot of the guys that ended up with these parts. I mean, I don't know. There was something, I wouldn't say there's one that got away, but Cameron knows about this. Like, I think when I was preparing, when I was auditioning for Shameless, I was auditioning for both Philip and Ian kind [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of like throughout the auditioning process. And I think I really wanted to play. I really wanted to play Ian. And then I was kind of like, I was told, you know, no, and you're gonna play Lip. So that was, I mean, I guess that's, you know, that's the best way to get bad news is like, no, you're not gonna do this one, but you can do this one. And then obviously I came to really love, you know, playing Lip and getting to do it for so long. But yeah, I feel like I really chased Ian, and I remember being disappointed when they said, actually, it's this guy.
Now, do they call you and say, we have good news and bad news, or bad news and good news?
When they call me, do they say,
like, bad news, you didn't get what you wanted, good news, you still want your good news.
Oh, when they called me for that? Yeah, I think it was, yeah. It was like, I think it was all, they were like, look, the good news is you're employed. And I was like, that is good news, because I really hadn't done much work before that show. And yeah, you know, the bad news was, I know you were really eyeing this one. And I was like, I was like, I could do both. I could do them all. I could do, you know, but thank God. Thank God they didn't do that. Yeah.
And before we leave, we just have to talk about once more, because I want people to hear you talking about it. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just every actor needs to watch her on The Bear. I mean,
she's so good, man. Every actor needs to watch her in general.
In everything.
Certainly in everything, everywhere, all at once, and everything. But yeah, she was so excellent, so prepared. She understood Donna in this way, you know, prior to ever stepping foot on set. It's quite a difficult thing to do, you know, even for actors as established as Jamie, you know, to kind of step into a world and very quickly, like, you know, make a choice, flesh out a character, and fit into the environment that's already been established, you know?
Right.
And she just knew, she just understood. And I remember she came up to me, and it was such a wonderful moment. You know, I hadn't met her yet. We had texted a little bit, but it was before shooting that Christmas episode. And yeah, she tapped me on the shoulder as I was in base camp, and I turned around and she held my face and looked into my eyes for a while. Neither of us said a word. She gave me a big hug, and then she just walked back to her trailer. We didn't exchange any words. And wow. I think it was just her way of kind of, you know, connecting with me in a real and caring way, before, you know, Carmi had to kind of deal with Donna, in the way that he had to, during that time, you know, in that episode.
Wow. But yeah, that's Jamie Lee Curtis. She just looks guy, and there's a connection that just beats nothing.
She's a real one.
We need her back on The Bear. We need some more flashbacks. We need it.
Hey, we'll see. Yeah, I hope so.
I mean, should Donna have a spinoff?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Jamie if that's something she'd be into. I'd watch.
That'd be a lot to do.
It would be a lot to do. It would be a lot to do. Yeah.
Or maybe the Donna one woman show. We get a stage show.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I definitely watch that. Yeah. I mean, it's up to Jamie and Chris, you know. I think Chris's writing is such an integral, obviously, like such an integral part of the series, and the way that he fleshes out these characters is so, so true and real and honest. But yeah, if they wanted to team up for a one woman show, I would be first to buy some tickets. Absolutely.
Jeremy, this is so great. I'm so glad I've got to spend so much time with you.
Me too, man. I'll miss you.
I'm going to miss you too. Okay. Have fun with the chefs, and I'll see you soon.
Thanks, man. Till next time.
Till next time. Thanks, Jeremy.
Bye.
That was Jeremy Allen White. And that's it for this week's Just for Variety. Thanks for listening. Here's hoping you have a wonderful holiday season and a happy new year. I'll see you in 2024. Until then, make sure to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at Mark Malkin. And for all breaking and exclusive Hollywood news, go to Variety.com. Bye for now.